Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I get to welcome back to the show Lindsay Phillips. Lindsay is a friend of mine. She's also a colleague of sorts. We refer a lot of people back and forth. She is a serial entrepreneur, a self-professed organizational freak, a client-appointed taskmaster, plus she's a project ninja and a warrior content marketer for people in their life and business coaches, accountants, and other online entrepreneurs across the globe. And this is actually going to be her third appearance in the podcast. It's actually been too long since her last visit here. So Lindsay is the CEO and founder of Smooth Sailing Growth and Smooth Sailing Business Growth Podcast, 15 minutes of pure growth podcast. I'm sorry, 15 minutes of pure marketing strategies that are proven to move the needle. They're good. You ought to listen to them. And she is here to share her tips on what is content marketing. So many people don't really understand what and why content marketing is so important. Where should you start when looking to attract more people? Why is building relationships an integral step that's often overlooked? And she will also share some of her best tips to convert customers faster. Now, I have to say, Lindsay has not been able to dial in. I am actually in the middle of a hurricane that is forming in the Gulf of Mexico, and there's no telling if she's been able to log in. So let's give her a couple more minutes and see if she can make it. If not, we'll cancel and get it rescheduled for another time. So anyway, take a look at Lindsay. You know, look for her. Seriously, look for her podcast. I mean, she shares a ton of terrific, really terrific content. And she knows what she's doing. She's been doing this for quite a long time. If you don't understand why, you need to be very, very clear and very specific about creating content. She's going to share that with us if she can dial in. It's something that you can't just kind of toss at a wall. You really need to know who your market is, how you want to connect with them, how you can help them, how you can help them know, like, and trust you. And it's not an overnight success thing, and a lot of people think it is. Like, oh, well, you know, I did this for a month, and I didn't get a single client. Well, of course you didn't. And I'm laughing, but it's actually not funny. That's not the way to approach people. You have to really connect with them and let them get to know you. Listen, I have people who have referred me as a web developer multiple times that, frankly, I have never spoken with. They have just been watching me for so long, and they see the content and the quality of the work that I do, they are perfectly happy to send somebody to me and say, hey, connect with her. I think Lindsay just made it in. Are you here?
I am, yes. Sorry, my computer froze and had to reboot.
I've been rattling like a crazy person, so goodness only knows what this is going to sound like. Anyway, I have introduced you. I have told people what a terrific content creator you are, that you're a friend and a colleague. And this is the third time you've been with us. And frankly, it's been too long in between podcasts. I mean, I don't know what took us so long to get you back here.
I know. It has been a while since we've touched base.
It has. It has. So anyway, I, you know, shared with people why content marketing is so important, and that you can't do it for a month and go, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. I didn't get any clients. I just shake my head. What are you going to do? So definitely, let's start talking about that. And before we get too caught up in all of the points and tips that you're going to share, tell people a bit about yourself.
You betcha. I mean, I started off in the VA sphere, which, of course, you're obviously familiar with, and rocking it out. And I just discovered my passion was in content marketing. I was doing so much better at it for my clients. And there were a lot of things that I didn't like and did like, and I just decided to niche down and take that leap, and haven't looked back. Ever since I did that, I was getting a flood of clients. Gosh, and it's such a changing world of content marketing. So it's, you're constantly learning new things, you know, new stats to get, and, you know, podcasting, as you know, has gone crazy over the past number of years. So I just love that it's ever moving. It's never static.
It isn't. And listen, I get this all the time. And, you know, you're right. For a long time, I was in the, you know, the top market or the top tier of the virtual assistants industry. And finally, I wore out. I mean, you can take so many clients before you just go, I don't have time, I don't have energy, and I'm not going to make any more money. So I moved more towards digital marketing and helping people do what it is that they need to do, and I love it. And it turns out that I'm really a good consultant. Who knew? I thought I just talked a lot.
No, you're multi-talented.
That's what I tell myself, too. But the thing is, and I hear this all the time, and I know you've heard it too. People say, well, I just don't know how to content market, and it's a lot of work, and I don't know what to write, blah, 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 blah. Just do it. You must do it. But, and you're going to teach us how to do it properly, don't just throw stuff at the ceiling like the spaghetti at the ceiling. Don't just toss up stuff and hope to goodness it's going to work, because I promise you it won't. And you're going to become even more frustrated, and then you're going to be looking for another way to make, you know, a living. So let's go into some really deep dive about what is content marketing, because people who get it really get it. People who don't are scared to death of it. So go. I'm going to mute us. I'm going to let you just rock and roll.
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of people think that content marketing is like that nice to have, that it's not really important, but it is really crucial because it helps you attract more clients, build those relationships, and then convert them to sales, which is the name of the game. And to me, content marketing is, how I always explain it, is all that good stuff that's in your head, the knowledge, the experience that you have. And it's however you share it with the world and you serve them and you teach them and you show them, you know, how awesome you are at what you do and your products and your services, but in a serving way of teaching people. So whether it's through videos or writing with blogs or lead magnets or emails or podcasts, of course, it's basically any of those mediums of sharing that experience and that knowledge that you have.
Exactly. And I think what a lot of people don't really quite understand, and they do eventually if they stick with it long enough, is that, you know, maybe they're not making, you know, $10,000 a month, which is a shame. You should be at least. But you'll get there. But a lot of them will say, oh, you know, I'm not making clients. They'll have this imaginary spreadsheet. We've all seen it with our clients. I have to make this many clients this month, and I have to make this month. And I just tell them, I'm not for you. I can't help you, but I'll tell you what you're doing wrong. And what happens is that after, if they stick with it long enough, like you and I have done, because we just don't know how to give up, is that eventually we not only pick up great clients, we pick up great networking colleagues.
Yeah.
So we help each other. We refer each other. We may partner together. It's such a win-win. It's not just about making that imaginary spreadsheet shine. And
with the networking. Yeah. And I love that you brought up the networking part of it, because content marketing, I mean, yeah, you want to grow your business and make sales, but there's that huge part of it about building those relationships through content marketing and through social media and through emails. Like, that part is really crucial.
It is. And I can understand why people go, well, I don't get it. I mean, how am I going to get to meet, Denise or Lindsay or Larry Wingate or Adam Homey? Yeah, pardon me. We've got hurricane winds going on. And
my voice
is just shot. The entire state of Louisiana right now is covered with this. It looks like a Bota bag, seriously. The whole state is covered with this weird-looking thing. I was actually worried we weren't going to make it, so I'm so glad you're here. So anyway, it's important that you, when you start your content marketing, you're looking way down the path, right? Not just, okay, I've got to write something today, or I've got to have it written by 4 p.m. and post it. Okay, I'm done. Now what do I do? It's a lot more complex than that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You can make it complex, but I don't want it to like freak people out, right? I think if they and there's so many options out there, and I think that's where people get stuck. They like hit this wall, and they don't know where to start, or they feel like they have to do everything. But you don't. If you even, I mean, I sort of say that, you know, content marketing is as easy as ABC. If you start with, okay, what can I do to attract my ideal client? Then you think about, okay, where are they hanging out? Are they hanging out in Instagram? You know, I have a client where, you know, they barely even know what Instagram is. So he's always on like LinkedIn and Facebook. So you don't have to be everywhere. You just have to be where your peeps are, so to speak. And then it's like, what do they resonate with? Do they read? Do they like videos? Are they, you know, digesting podcasts like there's no tomorrow while they're driving in the car? Like, you have to understand your people and then start with one thing, do it well, and then you can build on it. But just think about your ideal client and where you need to be and what you need to do to attract them. That if you just start there, then, you know, any action you take is going to be awesome.
Absolutely. As a web developer, the first question I ask is, who is your ideal client? Sorry, my cat is losing her mind too. And they will say, oh, you know, everybody. It's a hurricane. There's nothing I can do about it. When we're done and I shut down, I'm actually just going to go out and do some back porch sitting and watch it. That's all you can do. I'm telling you. But the thing is, a lot of people will just say, okay, I just don't know where to start. And I'm with you. Start it simple, maybe a simple blog, and then repurpose that. And a lot of people go, what does that mean, repurpose? So share that, because I think it's really important.
I know, and you're right. That's another area where people get really stuck. They're like, oh my God, I need to reinvent the wheel, write another this, that, and the other, record another video. But yeah, you can like recycle up the yin yang. I mean, just as a quick example, if you take one blog, you could easily talk that out and make that a podcast episode. You could easily break it up into a couple of chunks and do a couple of quick videos. And you can even, I call them snackable bites. So let's say your blog post was about, I don't know, I always use chocolate cakes, the five best chocolate cakes that you would ever want to eat. And then you could pull out the one and be like, oh, you know, German chocolate cake is fantastic. and then you could do like a social media post with a graphic that is just like a standalone tip, a statistic, a quote that's just like, you know, doesn't link to anything. They're super quick and shareable. So you can take little tiny pieces of stuff that's in your blog and make that a social post. So you can use one blog and recycle it and mix and match and reuse it in so many different ways that makes it so much easier on you for content creation.
And a lot of people don't realize that it's not a one and done. You know, you don't just put these little pieces, these snackable pieces out and you're, okay, I'm done with that. Now I need to go do something else. You take that same thing, rework it a little bit, and you put it out in another month or so. So you don't have to keep constantly, and I love, you know, rebuilding or what did you say? My brain is shot.
I don't remember now. Reinventing the wheel, I think I said.
I keep looking out the window going, oh, geez.
No doubt.
Sorry.
I can imagine it would be a little distracting. I don't blame you.
A tad. But we don't have to reinvent the wheel is what you said. And I love that because it's true. You don't. So I think, and I know what I wanted to ask you too. I see this a lot. And I know you see me posting on Facebook. Do not tag me on your stuff. Tagging is also a really excellent way to get information to people, but you have to be careful with it. And you have to be conscious of what you're doing. If you're just wholesale tagging somebody, let's use Ray-Bans. Why not? You always get the, here's me Ray-Ban glasses. No. So, yeah, I'll lose you. I will block you just as quick as I can, because once you start doing that, I don't play. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't. So what is your best advice for tagging other people? Let's say you. I mean, I tagged you this morning, or yesterday rather, to talk about this podcast. You in turn re-tagged me. That's done properly.
Totally. And that, like, it's authentic and it makes sense. Do you know what I mean? It's for a purpose. And yeah, when I've had people on my podcast show and I do the post, I tag it to make sure it goes to their wall and gets attention to their listeners. And that's part of the whole networking thing and being reciprocal. And I think too, like tagging someone, if I find an article, you know, I know a scientist and I found an article that was really interesting that was science-y, then maybe I would tag him going, oh my God, I love this article. I bet you'd like it too. And I knew him and he was friends. Then I would tag him because that makes sense. But I think when people tag others willy-nilly, it's almost like they're trying to take advantage of those people's sphere of influence. So if I, for instance, I'm friends with Jim Palmer and so are you, and he has a great, you know, circle of influence. But if I just tagged him and, you know, a few others just so that I could get my post into their sphere of influence and on their wall, then that to me, it's like you're trying to take advantage of those people's what they've grown for themselves and their followers. And I'm like, that is not sincere. It's not, it's just bad juju.
It's skeevy. It is. And people are probably wondering, well, how is this content marketing? Everything that you put up, every post that you put up, every tag, that's all part of your content planning, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think when people go from week to week to week and they're like, you know, oh, what am I going to post this week? It just becomes like an, oh my God, a chore, or they're freaking out because they don't know what to do. But if you plan it out and like, okay, I know I need to do blogs and videos and stuff next month. But if you're like, okay, I've got a blog every week and then I can do a video on that, or I can do a podcast on it, or I can pull out those snackable bites. Then you like, okay, it's like a routine, right? It's like a system. And so, boom, you've got your blog underneath your draft. You do all the like little snackable bite posts. And then, you know, you get one of your team to like pre-schedule it, create the graphics. So like for me, I like week one of a month, like create. And then the next month I might do the graph, or next week I might do the graphics. And then the week after that, I might pre-schedule it. And so you're on like a routine, like, okay, the first day of every month I do this, the 15th of the month I do this. And so if you work it into your calendar or work it into your project management tool, then it just feels like it's part of your routine and it's not this big thing that you have to think about.
And you're not running around going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, which I have done.
I know.
It's not
fun.
And it's not smart. So I don't do it anymore.
I know. And some people, too, they think everything has to be new and fresh. And like you said, you know, you can post the same quotes that you posted 6 months ago. No one's going to know, be none the wiser. And same with like old podcasts. They're still evergreen. They're still awesome. Or if you had a month where you're away and you're not able to write new blogs, you know, share your past blogs or even share other people's material or articles that you find. I mean, I share often, you know, Social Media Examiner has great articles and posts, or HubSpot. And, you know, it's still information that will resonate with my audience. And, you know, you're still, like share other people's stuff, and especially your friends and people that you're connected with online. They would love if you share their stuff.
It can't be all about us. And I think that's one of the big misconceptions, if you will. It's like, but I have to create all this stuff. No. You do have to create some original content, there's no question.
Mm-hmm.
But if you curate and you're curating wisely and you're sharing, you know, HubSpot, Forbes, I share a lot of Forbes.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I found a really great scientific post yesterday that I shared for one of my clients. But what happens is once you kind of free yourself and say, okay, I'm not going to be so panicked about this. I can curate. There's a lot of great stuff.
All of a sudden,
those things just pop up in your line of sight. They're like, ooh, I'm going to put that one on this client. Ooh, that one's for me. And you don't even have to look anymore half the time. They just show up.
Yeah. I know. And I love, I don't know if you use this, Denise, but SocialChamp.io, one of the social media schedulers, they have in the back end this like curation area. So you like subscribe or pick what, like Mashable or Forbes or whatever that you follow in your own blog. And then you see all these posts and you just have to hit a button and like share it. It's like super crazy easy. I love it.
I haven't used them yet. I've been using Hootsuite and I'm getting fairly tired of that. So I will definitely take a look, as we all do. I will definitely take a look. So it's social media. What is it?
Social Champ. Oh, now you've got me all mixed
up. Social Champ.
Yes, Social Champ. That's okay. I know. I second guessed myself for a minute there. SocialChamp.io. Now I got to Google it. You know, when all of a sudden you can't remember your own phone number.
Yes. Or my mother's phone number or my best friend. I was changed my alarm system not too long ago, and I had to actually go into my phone and pull her number out. I couldn't have done it on my own. Very embarrassing. I mean, we are so.
I know, right? Just your brain, just yeah. But it is SocialChamp.io.
Okay, great. I'm definitely going to look. See, I love talking with you because I always get great tips. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, like, you know, when you start looking to attract more people, what are the first steps? And to me, it's who do you want to attract? I mean, who is your avatar, you know, the audience that you want? But what are some of the first steps that you can share with our people, with our audience?
For attracting your ideal client, I think the biggest thing is, and I've gone through this exercise myself, is think about, okay, like you must have clients already. So who are your three best clients that they're like you wish you had more of? And think about their commonalities, their traits, their business's traits, you know, again, what social media they're hanging out, what their lifestyle is, what their interests are. But the biggest thing is thinking about why that those three clients came to you in the first place. What was their biggest pain point that they wanted solved? And if you can think of the top three or five pain points that those clients have, then that can easily drive your content. So let's say, for instance, my clients, one of their biggest pain points would be feeling overwhelmed and not knowing where to start with content marketing, and so they don't do anything. And so for me, my content would be tips on how to make content marketing easy, systems to make content marketing easy, you know, to get unstuck, or templates or blueprints for them to make it easy and to ways to get started, because that is on top of their mind all the time. So if they see social media posts or a blog or a video that touches upon and solves any of their problems, that's what's going to attract them and pull them in. And then the more they engage with you, the more they're going to realize that you are the solution.
Exactly. So basically, you really understand, you need to understand who it is that you're speaking to, who it is you're helping. And that might get lost a lot of times because, you know, many of us go, oh, I've got to make this much money. I have to have this many retainers.
Yeah.
I've got to do this, that, and the other. And we kind of boil it down into that shiny spreadsheet, which actually is not the right thing to do, I found. I know it sounds, you know, like it's, you know, you have to know what you're doing. And I've always used retainers because I must know what my income is coming in each month. But that's a whole other thing that goes back to the whole virtual. But it does help. I mean, yes, you do need to have, you need to know how much money you need to make, how you're going to make this money. But then once you really start thinking about it, like you just pointed out, you've got to be able to figure out who these people are and how you can genuinely assist them, and it's not going to happen overnight. So let's talk about that.
No.
Because one of the biggest things that you and I both hear is like, but I've only got 3 months to make this work. Oh my gosh. So let's talk about that.
For sure. And I you make a good point in where you know, a business owner can be so focused on kind of like the bottom line, but I also think they focus on what their services are. So they promote the services like, hey, look at me. I do this. I have this course. versus reverse engineering it and thinking about it from the psychological standpoint of your avatar and what pain they're having, that's how you attract. I just wanted to bring that up quickly. And so in regards to your question, I just lost it.
I've been doing the same thing. It's like I started on web development and then I wandered off somewhere else. I have to tell my audience I'm not normally this distracted. At least I don't think I am. Please tell me I'm not.
No,
but today
you're
is,
normal.
It's one of those days. It's just one of those crazy things. But the thing, what I started to say about web development is I will always hear, well, you know, I will say, who are we targeting? Who are we building for? Oh, everybody. No.
Yes.
And no. So run with that one.
Yeah. And you have to be, and I know some people think that if they need to target everybody, but actually if you niche down and are very specific in what your expertise is and what your solution is, you will actually attract more people by niching down. It sounds counterintuitive, but if you're showcasing yourself as an expert, like for instance, I could say, you know, I do digital marketing and this, that, and the other, and VA work and so many things, and I think I'm going to attract more people. But in actuality, when I niche down to just content marketing, and even still, like right now, my focus is sales funnels and podcasts. Yes, I do the other stuff, and yes, I understand it and know it, and I'm good at it, but that is my love, and that's where my sweet spot is. So I would rather be known as an expert in a couple of things and attract more people that way than the other way around. And I remember now what your other question was, and that was it just came back to me. You were saying about how some people want it to be like quick results, like, you know, I'm going to put out a blog post and I'm going to get 5 more sales. it don't work that way, unfortunately.
I know. I'm like, no, let's talk. All right, let's not talk. You listen. No, it's not going to happen.
I know, or like people start a podcast show and they think, you know, after 5 episodes, you know, why don't I have 1,000 downloads per episode? I'm like, yeah, you got to have realistic expectations. And it's, you know, I hate using it because it's cliched, but it's like dating, right? Like you need to establish that relationship. They need to know you. They need to connect with you. They need to trust you, understand what you do and how you will help them. And it's a long game, but you have to be consistent. And the way I always say it too is, imagine if, like for me, I remember I did this. I wanted an accounting firm that was local. And I went on their website, as you do. And then I also went to their social media platforms and they had like nothing there. And the branding didn't match their website. And they didn't do any posts in a couple of weeks. So to me, I'm like, are they even going to be around when I need help or I have a problem? Like, are they successful? Like, those first impression thoughts are impactful. And so you need to be consistent and keep working it.
Absolutely. And one of the things and you mentioned basically one of the things that just has my teeth gnashing. I spend a lot of time poking around, lurking, if you will, in Facebook podcast group. I can't even tell you some of the garbage that those people share. Not all of them, but, I mean, if you've been a podcast host for, I don't know, 5 minutes, and you've got maybe 5 to 10 episodes, and you're wanting a sponsor, and nobody's ever heard
of
you,
Oh my God.
The train up. Seriously, back it up. Think about this.
I know, it's insane.
I often don't comment because I don't want to be rude or nasty. I do try to be very positive because, look, you and I both podcast and we love it. And normally I'm very good at it. Today, I don't know. Thank goodness I've got you to balance me. But anyway, podcasting is a terrific, terrific way to get your voice heard. And I use that phrase all the time, get your voice heard. I mean, it's a terrific way to meet people. Look, I've met people all over the world.
Oh, yeah, it's the
best. People I would never meet ever. I mean, it's a great way to really connect with people, connect with an audience, and share other people. I do, as you know, an interview type thing. Not everybody does, but I get to share your wisdom and your great content with a whole bunch of people. That works for me. Do I care about sponsorship? No. Do I care about downloads? I never look. I don't care. What happens with me is that I meet people like you and I network and I pick up clients more often than not through my podcast. Was it meant to be that way? It just happened that way. So let's do some talking about podcasting as a content creation, because I think it's so important and it's getting bigger by the day.
It's insane. I was at PodFest in last March in Florida, and it was
jealous.
It was so good. And I was like, I've been to conferences and stuff like that, but I felt like this, everyone was so supportive of each other and genuinely wanted to know about you and connect. And like, it felt really like family. Like, it didn't feel cliquey. It wasn't hard to like strike up a conversation with someone. Like, it was so warm. It sounds really weird. And it's not like it was only 50 people. It was quite large. But it just totally, I think, just feel like podcasters in general are connectors and like to connect with people. So it just, I don't know, it has a different feel. And I love that about podcasting. And like you said, it's like making those connections and talking to people. Like, I've got a really good friend that I'm partnering with, and he's like, in Finland, for crying out loud. And it's like, it's hard to wrap your mind around it sometimes. It's like, that's so weird. And talking to someone that's like in Africa, and it's just the coolest thing ever. I love that. But from a business standpoint, podcasting really ups your game in regards to your establishing your authority platform and carving yourself as an expert in your field and credibility. I mean, people even like, oh my God, you're everywhere. You've got your own podcast and you're guests on all these shows. And like, even just that alone up levels you and what kind of clients you can attract. And people just have this higher level of how they think about you and your business. So it positions you a little bit higher. You can charge higher for what you're doing because, hey, I'm an expert at, what I do. I'm being, interviewed by such and such a people. That alone was worth it for me, and the networking, those two things. Yeah, I couldn't care less about the downloads either.
I never look. I've had people say, well, how often do you download it? I don't know.
I don't care.
I've got other things to do. So I probably will go look one day and go, oh, good for me, and then, go do something else. I just don't have the ego about it, and many of us don't, and we just don't.
No.
You're right, we're connecting, and we're meeting people. Listen, did I ever tell you how Larry Wingate saved my podcast?
No.
I was doing a lot of what I'm seeing in these groups now. It's like, nothing's happening. Nobody's paying attention to me. Nobody loves me. I was whining. It was pathetic. Why am I doing this? I mean, it takes time and energy. Although I admit I keep it on the very, very simple. I keep it simple, stupid. I don't do a whole lot of work. We broadcast live. 20 minutes from now, it's going to be out on iTunes and Google, and I'm done. We're done. We're good.
Nice.
So, I just don't massage it, tweak it. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy. I've got a business to run. But the
point I was going to make is that
I was doing the same thing, and this was in 2010, I believe it was. So I've been doing this for a while. And, I wasn't really able to find good guests. I wasn't being consistent. Everything that you could do wrong with a podcast, I did it because nobody trained me. I just did it.
Yeah.
So I had interviewed Bob Berg, Go Givers Sell More.
Love him.
Bob
Berg
is great. Yeah. And I had interviewed a few people that I realized knew Larry Wingate very well. They were all on the speaker stage. And I happened to be a huge fan of Larry's work. I always have. And I thought, what the heck? I'm already on his fan page. I think he had already accepted me as a friend on Facebook. So I went, can't hurt to ask, right? So I sent him a note, and I was very clear about who I was, that I was a fan of his, that I had interviewed a few friends of his, and this was the premise of my my podcast, and would he be interested in being my guest? And I went, well, that was the end of that. And I went out and made some lunch because I figured I'd never hear from him.
Oh, yeah.
And I came back. He said, sure, I'd love to. I went, oh, okay, all
what?
Right.
Now what?
Exactly. And Larry's been my guest 3 or 4 times. He's a terrific guy. I really admire and respect him. And from then on, every week, I mean, unless something happens, like a hurricane, or, you know, something catastrophic happens and we can't broadcast each Friday, I'm there. I show
yeah.
up. And I love it. I love, love, love it. So there's a lot to be said about being a guest or being a host or better yet,
mm-hmm.
being both.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you're, you know, I haven't done any of it yet, but where you're a podcast host by yourself, you are able to showcase your own talents, and it feels more intimate that you can, you know, connect with your listeners, kind of a thing. I myself prefer to listen to interview style because I like the conversation. But everyone, yeah, has different interests.
Exactly. Okay, so wait, when did you start your podcast? It's been a while, hasn't it?
I'm horrible at remembering time frames. I want to say 2 to 3 years. I honestly don't remember.
It's been a while.
And I should know,
yeah.
like, how many episodes I have.
No.
I remember it was, I looked once and I'm like, oh, I'm past 100 episodes. Who knew?
Yeah. I think I hit 400 some time ago and went, oh, way to go, Denise. And then went and built a website.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got things to do. Okay, so that's a terrific way of reaching customers, of reaching partners, of,
mm-hmm.
you know, creating that content, because then again, you can repurpose that content. You and Jim Palmer do a great job of this. You will take a quote off of the
yeah.
podcast, and you'll create a graphic out of it, and off it goes. I think that's brilliant.
I know. I love that. And same with those, like an audiogram or Waves, where it's like the moving image, and you just hear like a minute clip of it. And it looks like a video. I love those too.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many ways, and they're not difficult, and they're not expensive.
No.
And I think that for a lot of people just go, oh my God, it's a podcast. I've got to hire people to help me edit and do this. You really don't. There are ways to keep it simple, stupid. If you want
yep.
to go that way, go for it. But I'd say if you're just starting out, keep it simple, stupid. Seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
Just make it as
yeah,
easy
and having systems,
as you can.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, gosh, yeah. Those systems are so critical. One of the worst
yeah.
things that you can do as a host or even a guest is to email back and forth. You know, I use, well, you know, because you've used my scheduler. You spend 5 minutes in my scheduler. You give me everything I've asked for. We're done. We're good to go.
Yeah.
We don't have to email back and forth. So Acuity Scheduler, Calendly, any of them, $10-$20 a month, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and especially Acuity can do a lot of those autoresponders and,
mm-hmm.
you know, reminders and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. So it kind of
exactly
it takes it all off your plate.
Yeah, and that's who I use. Okay, so we've talked a bit about why building relationships is such an integral step that it really is overlooked. And it, in my mind, it goes back to that fancy-dancy spreadsheet that really shouldn't exist other than as a, okay, this is the kind of money I need to make. Now I'm going to go get busy. You know, other than that, you can't live and breathe on that thing. So why do people miss this? Why do they overlook it? Are they just so fixated on, I just had an idea. Are they so fixated on being grown up like a business person rather than being
a connector?
I don't
know, yeah.
Does that even make sense?
I don't know what it is. I think they want to cut to the attracting the leads, and they want to hurry up and convert them. So I think they just want, like, the fast track to the end game. And it's like, you know, it's going to take some time. And even, and I'll give an example. So one of my clients, he has events. And so we reverse engineered, you know, all his event attendees that he's had over the year. And like, okay, let's look at all the tags that they have in Infusionsoft and what are all the commonalities? Like, what have they done? So like most of them were knew him and his business within a 6-month time frame, let's say, at least, even to a year. And they all like had one of the lead magnets and they've all watched and taken part in at least 1 or 2 webinars. So we're like, okay, that's the sweet spot. You have to nurture them. and then, you know, do a webinar, have the lead magnet. So that was kind of like the sweet formula to get the person to convert, right? So you have to understand that part of it. And then it's like you need to email them on a regular basis and stay in touch and not be promo all the time. You know, share a video, share a live Facebook that you did last week in an email. Give a free tip or a quote, something simple, just to stay top of mind and give them information that's going to help them. And same with social.
Checklist. People love checklists.
Yeah, I know. Yes, so do I. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, I think people forget, too, to DM people or, like, send them direct messages. Like, sure, comment back if they're commenting on one of your posts. But making that extra step of, like, doing a personal note in a, you know, Instagram DM or Facebook DM or whatever that may be, it gives you an easier opportunity to have more of a personal conversation or a connection and finding out what's up with them. And same with, like, going to their page and checking out what they're doing. And it's not like you're stalking them. You're seeing what they're interested in and commenting on some of their posts because they want to know that you're interested in them. They just don't want to have you, oh, you know, I've got this event coming up or I've got this course you can buy. They want to know that you care about them. And the only way to do that is to stay in touch, share information that matters to them, asking them questions about themselves, and just genuinely being interested in them.
Exactly. I actually look at that type of building relationships as a relational capital. If you understand that it's all about knowing, liking, and trusting, it's not them just knowing, liking, and trusting you. You want to do the same for them. You want to be able to refer them. You want to be able to connect with them. You want to be able to shoot somebody a note and say, listen, I've got this potential client. I'm not going to be a good fit for him or he's not a good fit for me. Would you like an introduction? I do that all the time.
Oh,
that's
totally.
Relational
or
capital.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Or podcast guests, or I'll just like think of something and like, oh, you know, I can't use this, but maybe this person will. And like even just making a small gesture to say that you were thinking of them, I mean, that goes a long way.
It really does. I mean, and I have, just because of behaving in that manner, just because it's natural to me, I guess, I didn't have to stop and think about it and plot it out. I've met the darndest people, I kid you not. I mean, one of my guests was the publicist for the Academy Awards. I got her request. I have this website and people can send me requests all the time, and I got this one, cracked me up, Lindsay, it really did, because I went, no, you're not. This guy said, you are not.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I couldn't believe him. I had to go look him up, but he said, I invented the MP3. I said, yeah, right. He did. He's the father of the MP3.
Oh, my gosh. That's
you
insane.
To interview him. He's fantastic. He's Nathan.
I know.
His name is Nathan. I mean, if you haven't interviewed him yet, I'll introduce you.
That would be so. I totally geek out on that kind of stuff, and I love interviewing people that like create software, like Handy More of, like Repurpose.io, and those ones. And it's like, I totally geek out on that stuff. I just think it's the coolest thing. And of course, you know me, I love tools and softwares and things that can automate and help.
Yep, I'm a nerd in stilettos. We speak the same language.
It's awesome. And we both like cats.
Seriously. I know. So we're running. I'm worried that my phone might give out. I'm getting a little bit of static going on. Can you hear it?
Yeah, the static, no.
Okay, good, because I can hear it. We've got a lot of wind moving on. Okay, so what are some of your best tips to, number one, find customers and then convert them? And we've talked about how it has to be a process, a steady process, know, like, and trust. But that doesn't mean you want to go, oh, well, you know, I'll give it a year, and then if they haven't converted, I'll find new ones. We don't want to do that. So there is a way to convert people faster by taking some of the steps that you commonly take. So can you share some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first one is, yes, the dreaded pop-up or slide-in or whatever. Everyone hates it, but it does work. Like, so if you're leading people to your I'm used to them and they don't bother me. unless they're like persistent and they're like pop up constantly. But yeah, you need to time them nicely. But if you're pushing people to your website, to a blog or a video page or whatever it may be, like you have their undivided attention. So like give them a chance to read some stuff on the page and then have a pop up like, hey, you know, before you go, you know, maybe you would like the 5 secret strategies to blah, blah, blah. Or even, you know, throughout your blog, like you'll see this on HubSpot a lot. And they'll have like in the middle of the blog, there'll be like a graphic that brings attention to, you know, a free thing or a course or a webinar that's coming up. And same with like on your blog page on the right hand side, the sidebar. That's a huge real estate where, you know, directing people to your podcast or, you know, the next webinar that's coming up or an on-demand training or a free checklist. You know, you want to take advantage of that real estate or at the bottom of your blog. Hey, if this really resonated with you, you might be interested in my, you know, blah, blah program, you know, click here or to book a call or whatever that may be. So you want to take advantage of their eyeballs and their attention while you can. And same with in emails, you know, when you share a blog in an email, don't be afraid at the bottom of it to have a PS that shares some other resources that they can take advantage of that will help them solve a problem. And same with, you know, people even forget in social media to do posts that share free online resources or products or whatever. I mean, don't go crazy with it because you don't want to be like, you know, a slimy salesperson. Don't be afraid to make the ask. I think you are serving people in a bigger way if you let them know what resources are available to them, but you have to do it in a way that you're serving them.
And, you know, hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I hit the wrong button. And that kind of goes back to what you just said, kind of goes back to making sure that you don't just vomit everything all over your website. Like, I have a whole ton of stuff I can do. So do you. We are so good, we probably should be gilded. I mean, we know what we're doing. Nobody cares. I have a computer science degree. Trust me, nobody cares. I do, because I had to pay for the darn thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's not important, right? But what happens, and when you're doing what you're saying here, like, you know, how about this? You've got their eyes. You have their attention. Now you have the opportunity to share other resources that you have created or can help them with, or the pain point. So my thinking is, if I'm understanding you correctly, is that you don't need to have this one website that says, we do all of this stuff. Nobody cares. But if you're doing content marketing or you're doing podcast creating, which is a course that I'm building right now, all of a sudden people go, oh, yeah, I want to hear more about that. Oh, she does that too. All right. Oh, that's very clever. Let me share this with a friend of mine. Now all of a sudden you've got friends who are really paying attention to you, and if they didn't know that you were a web developer or that you created these things, now they do. And you got them right when they needed to know it. So take the long kind of slower course, I think, and gather these people in and make them your friend. Make them really like you because you're being the best you can be for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like I've been consistent all along the way, and my business has grown 60% each year consistently. You know, have I made $1 million in 1 year? No, but am I doing extremely well for myself and meeting my revenue goals? Yes. And it's like, that's, to me, I would rather, you know, grow at a nice, like 60% is decent to me, grow at a nice rate and keep up with it.
Exactly. So what other tips do you have to share with the audience? I mean, I know you've got a ton of stuff that you're holding back, so come on.
I'll go to my favorite topic, and that's tools. I love tools. And so, and people always ask me, you know, what do you use to like make your graphics, or what do you use to automate this? So my favorite tools is any project management tool. I love Teamworks, but there's Podio and Basecamp. Like, if you have all these things to do, and especially in, as you know, systematizing your content marketing to make sure that you're consistent, you need to have a project management tool. You can't rely on sticky notes or, you know, spreadsheets all the time, or your calendar. So that I highly, highly recommend, and especially when you're working with a team and you have other people helping you out. The other tool that I love is Canva for creating social media graphics. You can resize easily, and just the images that they have in there are awesome. Takes like 5 minutes maybe to make, you know, a really beautiful graphic. So that tool is, I cannot do without. And I love, if you're a podcaster, I love Simple Podcast Press for pushing the audio to my website, and it'll like pop up a draft. It'll have the image and an awesome audio player that has a call to action on it, and you can sign up for something. And it just, it makes things look beautiful, but it just makes my life so much easier. So there are a few tools that I love, love, love.
Oh, I'm with you on Canva. I'm going to look at Simple Podcast Press. I'm actually rebuilding my podcast website. It's way past time. Seriously, I'm a web developer. I do this all day in my sleep, Saturday and Sunday. My website, my business website, is hidden behind a maintenance plugin because it's embarrassing. It's like 3 years old. I don't want people to see it. Anyway, you know how that goes. But
oh, I do.
Tell me a bit about Simple Podcast Press. How does that work so people know?
So it connects from, I use Libsyn for the audio hosting. And so whenever an episode goes live, it pushes a draft to WordPress so that the post is already created with the player in it, the image, the show notes or description or whatever. And then we just have to like quickly double check it and then publish it. And you can choose like the color and the branding. So like underneath the player we'll have, you know, you can download here, click here to go to iTunes, click here to go to Google Play Music. So it has options for your listeners or watchers, whatever you want to call them. And it, so you can change those colors to match your branding. And then underneath it even has the ability to have a call to action. So you can have like, it's got like a built-in sign-up form. So whether it's to subscribe to your podcast or, you know, one of your checklists, it's another easy way to convert your listeners to your e-list, which I love.
Okay, so tell people about Libsyn.
So how I describe Libsyn, I mean, there's other options out there, but I just like Libsyn because it's easy to use and it's got a lot of great stats in the background. But kind of like how you have to host your videos in YouTube or Vimeo, you need to have a place to host your audio for the podcast to then push out to the directories like iTunes, Stitcher. You know, you can even push it to YouTube. So it's basically where you produce and host all your audio stuff for your podcast. And you can put in the description, you put in the image, and it pushes out your podcast basically to all of those different directories.
Now, on YouTube, I've been watching people do that. I haven't done it yet. It's, again, it's in my list of things to do. I think it's a terrific way of doing it. You have this wonderful image. I was watching one that Dan Janelle, I think, did recently. Beautiful. Really good. I think my question was and is, mine happens to be a 60-minute conversation. Can you do 60 minutes on YouTube? Or
oh,
should
yeah,
you break
absolutely.
It into smaller pieces?
I mean, you could if you want to, you know, slice and dice, so to speak, and then, you know, load it up manually. But, I mean, if people are listening to your 1 hour podcast in general, it's just another way of capturing the attention of an audience that you already have. So if you have YouTube subscribers, then it gets them hooked onto more content and engage with you better. So basically, you just have to make sure that the image that you upload into Libsyn is the YouTube thumbnail size. And then once your audio or your podcast publishes, it auto connects it to YouTube. And then again, there's the image. It's basically the image with the audio, but it so it's not like it. You see much. You see the image, and that's about it. But you can listen to the audio through YouTube, basically.
Yeah, I did, and I thought, okay, this is great because mine is just audio. I don't do Zoom and video. You're never doing a video. So that's perfect for somebody like me. But now the next question, I know our audience is going, okay, this is great, but I don't know how to do any of this. So how would they be able to, first of all, find out who their avatar is? We covered that. Figure out what it is that they want to do with their content marketing, and then find somebody to help them with. And there are very good virtual assistants, and there are a lot that are not. So what's your best advice on that? My cat just stood on my keyboard. Sorry.
Oh, so cute. I love your cat. You need to speak to, in my view, a content marketing strategist, which is what I love to do. So I do 20-minute free consults, and then I do have paid like a 2-hour strategy session where we run through the whole gamut, look at what you are doing now, what you want to do, who your avatar is, what the best next steps are, should it be a podcast, should it be blogs, should it be... it depends what your goals are, right? If your goals are speaking or just booking strategy calls, if your goal is to build a ton of courses and make passive income that way, every business and every person has a different path to take and different priorities. And so, yeah, that is my favorite thing to do, is mapping all that out and figuring out. And then obviously, there's lots of different companies out there that do podcast production. We do it as well, of course, and do podcast launches and stuff, so that all the nitty gritty, I call it, is done for you. So all you need to do is find the guest and book the call and record it, and then someone else can just take care of all the other pieces for you.
Exactly. It sounds like it could be very complicated, but if you're doing it over time and you're doing it in a steady, steadfast method or fashion, one that is going to get you where you need to be, it falls into place. And eventually you say, okay, now I know where I'm going, I know what to do, now I need help. It's really not that difficult. We're throwing a lot at the audience, but truly it's not that difficult to do. You just have to really map it out and then do it. Don't stop, don't hesitate, don't play around, don't cry because you don't have a sponsor when you're 5 minutes old. Just do it. Really bugs me, can you tell?
I know, it drives me crazy too.
Sorry. Well, listen, we've got about 2 more minutes. Tell people where they can find you.
Thanks. They can find me at smoothbusinessgrowth.com. And of course, there is a free social media roadmap to help them get consistent with their social and content, just there on the homepage. And my favorite place to be is Facebook. I am on Twitter and Instagram and stuff, but for whatever reason, I typically dive into Facebook more than anything.
So do I. I don't know why. I'm all over the place, but Facebook is just easy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're meeting up with friends over there.
LinkedIn, yeah, not much. I totally agree. I know. I'm not a fan.
It's a different culture. Let's say it that way.
It
Lindsay,
is.
Thank you so much for being here with me today. And it's been genuinely a pleasure speaking with you again and catching up. And I thank you for all of the wonderful advice that you have shared with our audience. And before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your journey. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I always love chatting with you. It's a blast.
It is fun. Okay, now I just, here we go. I'm telling you, nothing is going right today. I'm surprised we made it. Here we go.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.